Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 8, Text 27. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namo Kinchana Vittaya Nivritta Guna Vrittaye Atmaramaya Shantaya Kaivalya Pataye Namaha. My obeisances are unto you, who are the property of the material impoverished. You have nothing to do with the actions and reactions of the material modes of nature. You are self-satisfied, and therefore you are the most gentle and master of the monist. Purport. A living being is finished as soon as there is nothing to possess. Therefore, a living being cannot be, in the real sense of the term, a renouncer. Om Jnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Taksur Udmulatam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vistam Tapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Sapadantikam Vanshakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayeva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasade Gaur Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, greetings from Govardhan. Unparalleled spiritual atmosphere here. It's hard even to communicate the level of community Krishna consciousness. And where I have my place, the temple, it's not a guest house for outside people, but for people they know. And I have some people there. They built a beautiful guest house. So, my little house here is really a one-bedroom attached with a beautiful, big community garden in front, but it's really like my temple. We just had class here this evening, just before this, and right on the next street, there's two new big guest houses with 40, 50 rooms, and they were all filled with this group from Russia and kirtans and classes, and it's been quite an absorbing time. Yeah. It's nonstop. I mean, from early in the morning to the evening, it's nonstop absorption in Krishna Katha and the holy name. And I've always mentioned that the real realizations in Krishna consciousness come when there's practice, and defined practice many times as concentration, over a period of time without interruption. And in the right mood. And then there's realizations. Vaisheshika Prabhu gave that quote where attention flows, energy goes. I think that really, really describes bhakti. And what is that energy? It's the relationship. It's an energy, the relationship between you and God. And it flows when there's focus and concentration and absorption. And that feeling is the highest love, and it's the highest pleasure, and it's the goal of life, and it should be our faith. It should be our faith. It should be our faith to achieve that. Yeah, it should be our faith to achieve that. So being here, I gave the example. I made up this analogy myself. It is analogous to a magnifying glass, you know, concentrating the sun on a piece of paper. That's not enough. You have to hold it there for some time to get the effect until it inflames. So it's not enough just to chant, but when we focus, of course it's enough to chant, but when we focus, the relationship comes with Krishna. And that's really what we're seeking. Because we're seeking love, and the highest love is towards God. And that creates harmony. Harmony means there has to be a center. There's not harmony. So God, Ishvara, he's the center. Ish of the center, Vara the circumference. He's the center. We're not. And we should be satisfied with that, because when we connect with the center, we have everything that the center has in terms of love. Because the energy is equally shared in love, in the proper relationship. So it's been, I guess it's not even halfway through Kartik, but it's the kind of experience you don't want to end. And this ashram is just so beautiful. And yeah, so I really don't, I'd have time to prepare the class, because there's so much. What here is, the practice is called Niyama Seva. Niyama Seva means regulated activity, so it's the same thing every day, but it includes quite an absorption in chanting. But I first like to just share an analogy that I got from Vaisheshika Prabhu in one class, which I thought was really significant. He was describing that there, his house, there's a park, and he would walk to the park every day. Well, regularly, it's a beautiful park. And he'd like to see, observe nature through the eyes of the Shastra, the Bhagavatam. And he saw one day, one lady had this fox terrier, and she took off the leash and let the fox terrier run around. And he would chase these squirrels, and he would never be able to catch them. And then one day he was like, really, the squirrel, and he was following the squirrel, and he thought he had the squirrel, and the squirrel ran up a tree, and the dog started to bark. And Vaisheshibru was laughing, because the dog was barking up the wrong tree. And then he realized that that's where that expression comes from, where it means you're pursuing the wrong course of action in life. There's many ways that phrase can be applied, but it means you're going someplace where you think something is and it's not there. And he applied it in Krishna consciousness to one of the six impediments to bhakti mentioned by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. I think it's called Asat Krishna. Trishna, not Krishna, Trishna. Thirst for things that are temporary. And it's really a food for thought of, you know, to what extent we're barking up the wrong tree in terms of our faith and the direction in life we're going and the things we're attracted to, which we're attracted to for happiness, but whether it's not there, like the dog went to the wrong tree. We went to the wrong place to get what we want. So it's a very, very interesting analogy. You know, another nice thing that happened, you know, you meet very nice sadhus here from ISKCON, but very wonderful people. I won't mention their particular names. But I met one friend, and it was actually in a kirtan that I was attending, so we couldn't really hear each other really properly, but he kind of whispered to me because he hadn't seen me in a while. And he said, when I'm chanting, I become the scene. And I feel a presence observing me. And he said it with conviction. And I thought, yeah, this person is really advancing because this is the shift in consciousness that we are seeking. Material consciousness means where the object, where the subject, and we see everything else as an object for us. Wherever you're sitting now, the whole world is around you in your vision, even though it's actually not. So in real spiritual consciousness, Krishna is the subject and we're the object of his pleasure. And to change that consciousness, to get out of this head that I'm in the center, we're seeing that way, and just change our vision. So I thought perhaps by this very, very deep chanting, this person was actually attaining something. Actually, I'm kind of giving a preview to my Monday morning greetings, but I'm sure you don't mind. And then I met another nice Vaishnava. And he really wanted to see me, and we were talking, and he just said, you know, I made a list 10 years ago. And I, you know, of the obstacles I have to devotion. And I see, and I looked at it today, and I see all the same things. And how to advance in spiritual life, how to advance. And he brought this up several times. We talked about this. But what I realized, he was advancing very deeply. Because I sensed it. Because from that deep study of the Bhagavatam, what happens is you start to lament the life led based on ego and material identity. And that's when you begin to hanker for your spiritual identity. And that's really what spiritual life is. We have to hanker for spiritual identity. That's what the Bhagavatam does. Bhagavatam presents Krishna, an attraction for Krishna, an attraction from the position of serving Krishna. So it helps to foster this whole spiritual life is somehow shifting our consciousness from the desire to be the center. And we do that by hearing about Krishna and becoming attracted to Krishna. And becoming attracted to those who are serving him. It was interesting, Bhuri Jam Prabhu gave a class to the Russians, and this was a great group. They have some kind of really sophisticated program there where they started like a Vedic college of Vedic knowledge for Russians all around the world. Is very successful. It maintains 10 or 15 devotees who are the counselors for that program. And then you can graduate to the bhakti course. So those were these people that were like so there were so many people here, very good people. And wow, were they grateful? Were they attentive? Were they chanting and dancing and listening to the classes? And Bhuri Jam did a very, very simple thing. He just told the Krishna story. Of course, it was translated into Russian elaborately. There was no philosophy practically. He just told the story. And at the end, he just read something. I wish I could remember it right now. But it was just the power of Krishna Katha. Nanda Maharaj was talking with the other men, just the power of Krishna Katha. It's Diwali here, so you hear all those sounds. I'll just have to block them out tonight. The power of Krishna Katha. I think that telling Nanda Maharaj or something, you know, all these calamities, or you should worship Narayan, you should, you know, study the Shastra. He said, you know, he's just satisfied with hearing about Krishna. And that is the symptom of spiritual advancement. Your desire to hear about Krishna. We have to become attracted to Krishna directly. Here in the Govardhan ISKCON, with Vaisheshika Prabhu Keshava Bharti, 5.5 hours a day, they're just reading Krishna book, going through the whole thing. Prabhupada said, if you read Krishna book every day, you'll become happy. We just have to follow the simple instructions that Prabhupada gave. There's perfection right there. Perfection is right in his books with the simple instructions he gave for us. They're very powerful. They're very potent. They'll change our consciousness. They'll change our heart. And they're invested with his power. So, and then, you know, Prabhupada's disappearance is going to, Govardhan Puja is going to be beautiful here. I can't wait. And then Prabhupada's disappearance is very, very special here because we generally get like Satchinandana Swami, Bir Krishna Maharaj come. We already have Havi, Bhuri Jam, Vaisheshika Prabhu, maybe Jayadvaita Maharaj will come. And people get to pour their hearts out. So I think it may be appropriate, maybe now I'll share, you know, what I'm thinking of speaking about. And what I wanted to speak about is, and something I'm thinking about, is Prabhupada doing the impossible and how he did the impossible. And I thought in three phases. His starting the Krishna consciousness movement, his leaving his body, and his legacy, his legacy that continues after him. So I thought, and this idea came to me in a very interesting way when I saw when I initially saw Vaisheshika Prabhu. He told me, you know, I saw Borijan in Vrindavan. You know, he said, wow, he really got old. He really did get old. Borijan Prabhu really got old. And, you know, I said, yeah, I was just with Keshava Bharti, you know. And, you know, he really has problems with his hips. And, you know, he really got old, too. You know. So that really made me think that it's inconceivable for any of us to think that we would start a worldwide spiritual movement at this age. Borijan and Keshava Bharti, independently, they both told me that it takes longer to do the ordinary things of life. You know, old age is no joke. I'm upstate there with Ravindra Supra, who is 75, Satsrup Maharaj is 80. But it's all a reflection of Prabhupada's glory. That at our age, he was spreading the Krishna consciousness movement worldwide in all its facets, in all its troubles, in all its problems, without the ability to even make a phone call. The most he had was a telegram. Traveling around the world 18 times. Every time I travel, I can't do anything for 2 days. It's to my nature. I don't do well traveling. That's why I don't like to travel. But to think at that age what Prabhupada was dealing with. You know, he said that thing when they complained to Prabhupada, you know, that he gave young men sannyas. He said, yes, my godbrothers criticized me, but that's the thing. That was one thing that I think they were right, because, but what can I do when there's no trees in the forest, the castor oil tree looks big. And, you know, and what I'm meditating on is what is the consciousness that Prabhupada had that allowed him to do what he did without losing his mind. And in one sense, besides Prema Bhakti, I think it was simple Bhagavad Gita. He did his duty and left the results to Krishna. He had that such clear faith that Krishna was God, that he was not the doer. He was the desirer, and Krishna was the doer. And therefore, he made decisions. Krishna acted through him, and he depended on Krishna. And it's really, you know, the amount of anxiety we have because we're not at that level of consciousness. So that's what amazed me about Prabhupada, that he can remain equipoised in the midst of a burgeoning spiritual movement. And inspire the level of his inspiration due to his own conviction. The other thing that I really consider remarkable, among other things, is I've been teaching this month Brahmavimohan Lila, and it's the last thing that Prabhupada spoke. But in one sense, I'm finding those purports the deepest and most profound in its presentation. But the amazing thing is he is doing that in his condition. I was once in Prabhupada's room, and in the last days, I guess I was fortunate to be in Vrindavan. And people don't understand what Vrindavan meant then. Vrindavan meant that Prabhupada was concerned that our guest house was empty and that we should advertise by the train station. That's inconceivable to us now. How many people are coming to Vrindavan? There weren't that many people there. And then, so Prabhupada was very, very merciful. And maybe I can give this bit. He was so merciful that at the end, he just had an open door policy. Just come in 24 hours a day. And I just think that is so compassionate. Kind of understanding that the only thing that will keep this movement going is not our managerial ability, not our scholarship, not our birth, our whatever, not particularly our qualities, but our relationship with Prabhupada. And therefore, he kept the door open. And I remember I was so busy, I didn't have time at all to go. You know, it was towards the end that he opened the door, and then Bibi Govindaswamy said, well, why don't you just go in before Mangalarti? So I wake up early and I go in. I remember sitting there alone, chanting my rounds, when I heard Prabhupada scream in pain, Hare Krishna, he said Hare Krishna. Bhavananda asked me to help move his body. But that was the condition that he was translating these books. One sadhu told me, "Sir, bait nahi TK, sir nahi TK. If your stomach's not good, your head's not good." I think it was really an exhibition of transcendence. How, at a certain level of devotion, there's something that really comes, whether you're chanting or speaking or writing, that comes beyond your capacity to produce it. It comes by the mercy of Krishna. Prabhupada said he didn't write the books. If there was ever an example of that, it was that. Prabhupada just laying on that bed and hearing, and then able to produce, you know, these incredible purports that we're reading today. And then the next impossibility is his legacy. The legacy is continued by people, but only born of the inspiration of the person whose legacy they're trying to carry out. So imagine the inspiration of Prabhupada that after 42 years since he left this world, the Krishna consciousness movement is still going on. That is inconceivable. Just on Prabhupada's words, his desires that are in the hearts of devotees who have such intensely conflicting views of the world, And what about, the atomic bomb of the Zonal Acharyas and the gurus falling, and the atomic bomb of this problem and this crisis and that crisis? And still, it goes on by that power. How strong was the power of the Bhakti Lata Beach, the inspiration that Prabhupada had? Not only how strong it was, but how Krishna was so powerfully speaking through Prabhupada. Because everything he did, you may analyze it, you may question, you may look back, but it damn worked. So we'll have also a nice disappearance festival. I'll read a little bit of the purport today. I wanted to share that with you. So here he said, a living being is finished as soon as there's nothing to possess. Therefore, a living being cannot be, in the real sense of the term, a renouncer. So these are Queen Kunti's prayers. And in her prayers, she's praying for these calamities to happen. When that happened, Krishna was there. And her faith was, Krishna is worth any price. That's what faith means. There's nothing better than Krishna. There's no price that's too little to pay for him. So that's her the Prabhupada is making a point here. The living entity is finished when it has nothing to possess. In fact, without enjoyment, the body dies. It's one of the requirements of living. It's just that we don't enjoy to live. We live to enjoy. A living being renounces something for gaining something more valuable. A student sacrifices his childhood proclivities to gain better education. A servant gives up his job for a better job. Similarly, a devotee renounces the material world, not for nothing, but for something tangible in spiritual value. So he's saying that this giving up, this simple living, is not really giving up. It's gaining something that's so much more valuable than what you give up. And that's really such an important principle in Krishna consciousness, that we have certain duties and certain things to do, and we have to make sacrifice of other things, but it ain't for naught. We get something so much better. We just have to have that faith. I'm really feeling that here in Govardhan, because I'm doing so much chanting, and so I'm giving up my time for an activity that's not fruitive. But it gives you faith, because what you get from that sacrifice is 1,000 times worth more than anything you can give up. And that's Prabhupada's point. Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, and Raghunath and others gave up their worldly pomp and prosperity for the sake of the service of the Lord. They were big men in the worldly sense. The Goswamis were ministers in the government service of Bengal. And Raghunath, Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, was the son of a big zamindar. But they left everything to gain something superior to what they previously possessed. The devotees are generally without material prosperity, but they have a very secret treasure in the lotus feet of the Lord. This is actually a fact. This has to be our faith. And we have to make some endeavor to experience it. That what profiteth a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? That our value and our wealth is having Krishna consciousness. It's not things. I was watching this, these two devotees from Iran are visiting me. And one is a young lady, now 19, who grew up basically in Krishna consciousness, and her parents made her quite Krishna conscious by bringing her to Vrindavan. And after breakfast, she spends 4 or 5 hours with the cows. She's a very intellectual person, extremely. I mean, brilliant. But she spends time with the cows. And when I'm watching her, I'm thinking, the activity is repetitive. So what enables someone to do something that's repetitive? It's the consciousness behind it. And if that consciousness is love, that consciousness is devotion, that consciousness is compassion, those are feelings that you could live with the whole time. Same thing with chanting. If you can invoke that consciousness, that Krishna consciousness, Sri Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavato Mati. If you can invoke that consciousness, then Kirtaniya Sada Hari, then you can chant always. There's a nice story about Sanatana Goswami. He had a touchstone, and the stone was left on a pile of refuse. A needy man took it, but later on wondered why the valuable stone was kept in such a neglected place. He therefore asked Sanatan for the most valuable thing. And then he was given the holy name of the Lord. Akinchana means one who has nothing to give materially. A factual devotee, a Mahatma, does not give anything material to anyone because he has already left all material assets. He can, however, deliver the supreme asset, namely the personality of Godhead, because he's the only property of the factual devotee, the touchstone of Srila Sanatana Goswami, which was thrown in the rubbish, was not the property of the Goswami. Otherwise, he would not have kept it in such a place. This specific example is given for the neophyte devotee, just to convince them that material hankerings and spiritual advancement go ill together. Unless one is able to see everything as spiritual in relation with the Supreme Lord, one must always distinguish between spirit and matter. A spiritual master like Srila Sanatana Goswami, although personally able to see everything as spiritual, set this example for us only because we have no such spiritual vision. Well, this is a very, very long purport. Okay, I'm going to stop there for tonight because I do get up very, very early. But I can field any questions or reflections that anybody has.
Hi, Krishna Maharaj.
Hi.
Yeah, just a question on this very last line that you mentioned. you know, if you're not of that level of spiritual consciousness, you know, you have to distinguish between matter and spirit. So, since everything is actually spiritual because everything is of Krishna, then that statement actually means distinguishing between matter and spirit actually means we have to distinguish between what we are able to readily see as for use in Krishna service and what we readily see as use in our own service, our own selfish enjoyment. Is that accurate paraphrase?
I think that's a good analysis of it. I think that's fair.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because what does it mean, distinguish matter? You know, of course, advanced transcendentalist distinguishes matter and spirit. So to what extent does it, to the extent that he has the consciousness of using everything in Krishna's service? So obviously he distinguishes the two. For example, he doesn't follow his impulses, you know, but at the advanced level, yeah, it's the vision that one sees. Everything is Krishna's energy meant for Krishna's service. Yeah, okay, thank you, Gail. Okay, anybody else? A few people say hello and then...
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Malati.
Malati, Hare Bo. Thank you so much. Good, I'm so happy you're regular on this. Good. Anybody else say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Oh. This is Lal Govinda. Okay. I wanted to say thank you for your reflections on Prabhupada.
Okay, thank you. Okay, great. Thank you. Who else?
Hare Krishna, Braja Sundari Radha here. Hare Krishna.
Hi, Bo.
Hi. Hare Krishna Maharaj. This is Tiffany.
Oh, great. Tiffany, thanks for coming on. Wonderful.
Thank you for the call.
Okay, who else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Eugenio and Gloria.
Wow, okay, thank you so much. Good. Nice. I think our community here is growing. It's great. Who else?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj.
Anybody else like to say hello today? Wow, thank you. Good. See more people.
Hare Krishna, this is Dashirada and Rama and Gopa.
Hi, Bo. Hi. Great.
Where have you found today, like from the front line on the war, preaching?
Oh, you hear in the background?
Yeah, we can hear everything.
You can hear? Oh, okay. I didn't know that you'd be able to hear that. Okay. Yeah. I'll put in my earplugs and go to sleep soon. Okay, who else?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj, it's Seva Priya.
See you soon in Braj, Vrindavan. It'll be great. Good. Thank you. A few more?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj.
Who is that?
Ashri Gandharika.
Hi, Bo. Good. I hope when you finish your studies, you'll be able to come out here, especially at this time. It's amazing. Really amazing. Yeah. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, Gauran Bhaktada.
Hi, Bo. Hi. Good. Maybe you and Brajarade can make it out here again. Nice. We had such a nice time last time. Okay. All right. One more person, and then we'll go for the evening. Okay.
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj.
Okay, then we'll end. Hare Krishna Mantra Govinda. Hi, Mo. Good. Okay, one more person. Otherwise, we'll leave. We'll leave for the evening. Okay, we'll leave. Hare Mo. Mantra Govinda.